All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to do like those little girls. I want you to clap and say, church, church, we love this church. Come on. Church, church, we love this church. Church, church, we love this church. Now, that's all of you that are part of our family here. If you're visiting with us, it's church, church, this place is weird. Church, church, go and you can... We're so glad you're here. And listen, we are excited about this new series that we started just last week, talking about how we love our church. Now, last week, I want to build on what we talked about last week. Remember last week we talked about how the Bible tells us that we're to love each other in such a way so the world will know that He's our Father in heaven. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God wants us to be a part of a community that really makes a difference, an eternal difference. And today I want to build on that by talking to you about two things, about the front yard and about the backyard, right? You got a front yard, everybody's got a front yard, right? And everybody's got a backyard. Front yard and backyard. Now, have you ever thought about the difference between these two? I mean, the front yard is the curb appeal of your home, right? It's what everybody sees when they drive by. Kind of like this, you know? I mean, everybody's just, oh, isn't that place awesome? That place is so beautiful. Their shrubs are always so manicured. Their flowers are so beautiful. Their grass is so green. Not a dandelion anywhere. The windows are so clean. Everything is so beautiful. They keep that place looking immaculate. That's the front yard, right? That's what we want people to see when they drive by our house. But that's not everywhere, right? Because everybody has a backyard, right? And that's the part of your house that you can't see from the road. You know, kind of like this. You got a backyard? You know, the other day I was actually talking to one of my neighbors and he was walking in her backyard and I said to him, oh, watch where you're stepping. You know what I mean? Right? Got those little animal bombs laying here and there all through the yard, right? The backyard, you know, the front yard is all manicured. It's all beautiful. It's all curb appeal. The backyard is where we play. It's where we eat. It's where we barbecue. I found a piece of chicken on my barbecue the other day that had been there for 6 weeks. Right? You know, that's the part where the dogs play. It's where the kids hang out. It's where the toys are. You know, a lot of times it looks like a junkyard. Front yard, immaculate. Backyard, not so much. And what do we have in between? We always have a fence, right? We have a fence that keeps the dogs in the backyard, that keeps the kids in the backyard. We have a fence that keeps the neighbors from snooping and looking in the backyard. We want everybody to see the front yard. Oh, it looks so beautiful. But really, we live in the backyard. Now listen, folks, here's what I want to do today. I want to take us through this idea of looking at our lives and our life together like a front yard, backyard, and a fence in the middle. And how really the Bible teaches us that what God wants us to do is wants us to eliminate the fence. To eliminate the mask. To eliminate the things that we build so that the world will not see, and even so we can't see each other, how we struggle with life, how dirty our life is, how cluttered our life is. We want everybody to see the front yard, but that's not where we live. That's not the real us. Did you know that the Bible even has something to say about this? Hebrews chapter 10 is so beautiful. In verse number 19, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because the blood of Jesus, by His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, so let us go into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trust in Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed." When you read this passage of Scripture, what does it say? It's saying that Jesus Christ crashed the fence. Now let me say three things to you about fences this morning and how God wants us to respond to them. And that's the first one. Jesus crashed the fence. What does it say? It says when Jesus died, the veil in between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was what? It was torn in two from top to bottom. And this passage in Hebrews says that now we can go boldly into the presence of God. Jesus Christ tore down the fence between us and Him. And we need to understand that that's exactly what He wants us to do with life today. Let me just show you the extent of this fence. If you look at the book of Romans, it has an awful lot to say to us about this fence and what it looked like. Now, I don't have time to go into all these scriptures. You can look them up later, but let me just give you a little bit of a feel for what he says here in the book of Romans, because it's so interesting to note that when you come to this passage of Scripture that he says here in Romans, Romans 3:23 says what a giant fence it was. You know what that says? It says, for we all have sinned. We all have this great chasm, this great fence built between us and God. And because of that fence, we could never get to God. Romans 6:23, what does it say? It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We could not pay that debt. Romans 5:8, what does it say? It says that he knew how great of offense that we had before us, even before we even knew we had a yard or a fence. Because Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, while we were still even unaware of how much we needed Him. Romans 10:9-10, he tells us that if we admit that we have a fence and that we need it torn down, that Jesus Christ will crash it to the ground. He says there in that wonderful passage that if we declare with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we will be saved. And then Romans 10:13, you know, Jesus will never not take advantage of a great opportunity to crash a fence that we have built. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, a lot of times we're good at building fences, building walls, structures, designed what? Designed to hide, designed to protect, designed to confine who we really are, to keep us separated from each other, separated from God. We are born into sin. That's our first fence. And it keeps us from community with Him. He's torn that down. And He wants to tear down the other fences in our lives so that we can draw near to Him and near to each other. Have you done that? Have you allowed God to tear down that great and giant fence of your sin that keeps you from Him? Because when you take that opportunity to do that, then you can move to this second part, the second idea about fences that God wants us to realize, and that's this. He wants us to allow other people into our yard. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a neighbor that you're scared to touch their lawn? Yeah. I hope you're not sitting beside them. You know, but, you know, everybody has somebody in the neighborhood, right? You're just a little bit fearful of, you're a little bit afraid of, you're not quite sure, you know, whether you could take a shortcut through their yard or whatever. We have some wonderful neighbors in our neighborhood. We have this one gentleman, he's kind of an older guy, he's all alone, and he'll come out and sit on his porch sometimes, and anytime anybody's dog comes outside, you know, we have a couple of dogs. Our neighbors have dogs. Anytime there's a dog in the yard, and if it barks, he screams out, "Shut up!" You know, and you're sitting on your deck, you know, and your dog just goes, "Boof!" And he's, "Shut up!" You know, one day I was outside, and I actually coughed. You know, he said, "Shut up!" I thought, it's just me. You have those neighbors you're a little bit afraid of in life. But listen, folks, Jesus Christ is all about tearing down barriers. Not only barriers between us and Him, but barriers between us and each other. And barriers between us and our neighbors. He says, love your neighbors. Do good to those that persecute you. Listen, folks, God wants us to be a good neighbor. We should welcome people into our life, into our yard, into our home. You know, a couple of weeks ago I told you about Arlene, you know, and how great she is and how much of a servant she is. Just the other day, I was down in the basement on a Saturday morning. And I was watching a Golf Channel or something, I forget. You know, I was sitting there, I had my gym shorts on. Not really shorts that I wear to the gym because I'd never go to the gym, but you know what I mean? Gym shorts, and I had on my slippers. You know, somebody came up to me after the first service and said, what are slippers? Don't you guys wear slippers around here? I was raised with, you know, house slippers. Anyway, so I have my slippers on, you know. I'm like Mr. Rogers, man. And I was just comfortable down there. And I'm not kidding. This actually happened to me. I could smell the bacon cooking. Man, it smells so good. And I could just smell this wonderful breakfast cooking. And she opened the door of the basement. She said, hey, honey. And I said, what? She said, breakfast will be ready in about 10 minutes. So I look at my watch. I'm like, okay, and I'm ready. So in 10 minutes, I got up and I went upstairs. And I walked into the kitchen. And I walked to the dining room. And I looked and there were 6 places set at the dining room table. I said, who's coming for breakfast? You know, I thought, you know, are the kids here? I thought we had an empty nest. I didn't think the dogs ate at the table. You know, I didn't know what it was for. I said, what are the plates? And she said, well, I invited the neighbors. And sure enough, here came our neighbor and his son and a little girl that was there at their house as well. They all came into our house. You know, I did go into the bedroom and I put a shirt on. You know, please don't try to envision that. You know. And I came out, you know, and I mean, it was like, but you know what? It was wonderful. Spur of the moment. Come on over. A few more biscuits, a little more gravy, a few more eggs. We had a wonderful time. How often do we do that? You know, I must say, you know, I just don't usually think that way. But we should think that way. Because God wants us to allow people into our lives. When we come into this building, we sing songs, we do things with our children, we sometimes eat, we smile, we say good morning. But a lot of times, it's all from behind a fence. We need to take the fence down and do life together. Imagine all of mankind standing before a fence. A fence of sin, and it just comes tumbling down when Jesus died on the cross. Now imagine drawing near to God, becoming His followers. There's no longer any fence. And when you become, when you draw near to God, you become His followers, there's no longer a fence. But yet when we turn around and we deal with each other, there's a fence again. That's not what God wants. That's not what He intends. He wants us to take it down. Think about this. Do you remember this guy? What's his name? Yeah. Wilson. Remember Wilson? Now, it's funny, but this has been so long ago. There's probably people here that have no idea. No idea what that guy's all about. I actually started to ask my friend Harry Houck to build me a fence up here. I started to actually just pop up and do this sermon from behind the fence, you know, just let you just see me from there up the whole time. But anyway, you know, Wilson was the next door neighbor of Tim Allen in his sitcom. But this is the only view you ever got of Wilson, right? Do you remember what Wilson was always quoting philosophers, quoting, you know, religions, quoting holy books. He was always giving these nuggets of truth to the family next door. But you never really felt like that you ever got to know Wilson because you always just saw him from here up. And this guy became famous for this. Even, you know, he was always hiding behind something. Nobody to this day would ever recognize him if they saw a picture of him other than this, because it was the fence that made you recognize who he was. Listen, folks, I don't want to be known for a fence. You don't want to be known for a fence. We need to take the fence down. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. Don't neglect our meeting together as a lot of people are doing, but encourage one another now, especially as the day of his return is approaching. Whose yard are you in other than your own? And who are you allowing into your yard? Or maybe better yet, who are you keeping out of your yard, of your life? Because you see, we all have a front yard. We want everybody to see, we want everybody to notice, everybody to say how great it looks. But I suspect that we all realize that most of the fun takes place in the backyard. And if you are truly going to experience the church of Jesus Christ in the way that God intended it to be, then we cannot live behind a fence. To truly love your church, you have to love someone in your church. This doesn't mean that everyone transformed into some kind of social extrovert, but it means that we don't live in isolation. Community, at its essence, community is standing in someone's yard. It means that you stand in someone else's yard and you allow someone to stand in yours. And then the third thing about fences is that when we bring it down, we can enjoy the company. Imagine with me, if you will, a birthday party. Kid's going to have a birthday party and he invites all of his friends, but his parents absolutely plan nothing. There might be one bag of potato chips on the center of the table and some weak Kool-Aid, and that's it. There's no games, no desserts, no face painting, no pin the tail on the donkey, no cake, nothing. I'm sure that you would agree with me that that would be one boring, dull party, wouldn't it? And for a lot of people, that's what we are inviting them to. When we invite them into the community of faith. Listen, Hebrews says what? This passage says, let us consider how we can stimulate one another to love and to good works. That's in verse 24. Think about it. When he says consider, it means to contemplate, to strategize, to plan, to think about things that you can do that will bring joy to people, that will bring happiness into someone's life. Living life in someone else's yard without fences, with all of the toys and the instruments that could bring you all kinds of joy. Think about that. That's what God wants us to do. Community is finding ways to encourage one another in love and good deeds. You see, folks, we think about community being what we're doing right now. But this is, such a small part of it. Community is what we do when we're done here, when we leave these walls, when we get beyond these fences and live our lives out there with each other and inviting other people to do life with us. Community is finding ways to encourage one another to love and good works beyond the church and beyond the sermon. It's knowing who to call when you need someone to babysit. It's knowing who to dial when your car breaks down and you need someone to bail you out. It's someone that you can call when you have a terrible burden that is on you, that someone in the family of God comes to mind. And here's the thing, folks. These things never happen automatically. They happen when we consider how we can make them happen. And let me suggest a couple of things as strategy as we close this morning. Number one, make sure that as you consider, that you always have healthy expectations. You see, folks, an unhealthy expectation is that we'll all know everyone, that every single person will be best friends with everyone in here, and certainly that's not realistic. A healthy expectation is that I can build some connections, some great connections, and out of that will come some deep, lifelong friends, but it will not be with everyone. So we have to make sure that we keep that in mind. Great friendships, deep relationships will come about, but it won't be with everybody. These will take time, and we have to keep a healthy goal in mind. Number two is realize that baby steps are okay. I mean, listen, be very clear in this. Living without fences doesn't mean that you're going to let every single person into the most personal parts of your life from this day for the rest of your lives. That doesn't make any sense. But we can begin hanging out with each other. Maybe standing in the front yard and chatting. Inviting somebody to the backyard, telling them where not to step. Be careful. And then maybe invite them around our dinner table. That's the way Jesus did it. Remember when he approached the woman at the well? You know, he incrementally just came into the very center of her life and changed her life. You won't let everyone in. You shouldn't let everyone in. But you need to work towards letting someone in at some point. Baby steps are okay. And number three, take ownership. Realize that this is everyone's job. It's not everyone else's job. It's everyone's job. We all need to work at it. We all need to get better. It's not enough to say someone else should do this. It should be something that you strive to do. Take ownership. If you're sitting down waiting for everyone to come in, then get up, walk around, and introduce yourself. Think about it. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, how much effort are you putting into connecting with others? 2, 4, 7, 8? All I know is take ownership of wherever you are and seek to improve. What would you need to do to raise your number by 1 or 2 levels in the next couple of weeks or in the next month? Because here's my encouragement to you as you leave this morning. As you leave this morning, make a commitment to love your church. Because you know what? You are the church. So many times, people will think about the church as the common denominator of their lowest opinion that they have of anybody in the church. In other words, they take the few people maybe that they think the least of, and they think that is the personality of the church. That's not accurate. What we should do is we should say, you know what? I am the church. This is my church. I love this church. I want this church to be the very best that it can be. And I am going to do my part. So take some time. After this service is over, we got a beautiful cafe right over here outside the door with all kinds of coffee and tea. Go over there and get a cup of coffee or tea and sit down and just see who might stop by and say hello. Or better yet, you take it upon yourself to go around and introduce yourself to people. Get to know people. Tear down the walls. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's what He wants us to do. And when we tear down the walls, we can invite people into our yard and we can enjoy their company. How? By considering how we can stimulate one another to love and good works in Him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love You and appreciate so much who we are in You. Father, we're a family. We're a body. We're the bride of Christ. And Lord, I pray that every person in here this morning would feel like that they are a part of Your wonderful kingdom, of Your wonderful family. We're so glad that each person is here today. Our goal, Lord, is to help people fall in love with Jesus. And Father, as we love Jesus and as we love others and as we fall in love together with You, we become more and more like You. each and every moment of each and every day. So, Father, I pray right now that as we sing this awesome song about how we're not only brothers and sisters together, but that we are sons and daughters of Christ, of God, our Father in heaven. Lord, may we be united, united in purpose, united in spirit, united in name, and united in power. And Lord, may we commit ourselves not only to the way you have torn down the fence between us and God, but also, Lord, in the way that you want us to tear down the fence between ourselves and each other and ourselves and the world. And that, Lord, you want to invite us in, Lord. Help us to not wear masks. Help us to tear the fence down between the front yard and the backyard and just be real, Lord, real with you, real with each other, and just truly love and support each other in this life that we do together. Father, may it be so. May we be encouraged to live that way as we sing. In Jesus' name.